Julian, good morning.
Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, mate. Thanks for joining us this week. Now, historically, Iran and Saudi Arabia, they've always had a fairly tense relationship. What's changed or what's happened most recently?
Basically, what's happened most recently is that America seems to be shifting its policy towards Iran and making overtures towards normalizing its relationship, which has made Saudi Arabia particularly nervous because Saudi, for a long time, has been a very close friend and even ally to the United States. And it's feeling like it's beginning to lose a bit of leverage in the Middle East. It's starting to lose a bit of its relationship with its friend, the US, and it's feeling threatened by a resurgent Iran. And Iran really is, at the moment, politically, culturally, economically resurgent in the region. And if history's got any thing to say about this, Iran's got a real potential to become the leading nation in that part of the world. It has been so many times in the past, and that makes Saudi and others very nervous.
The tension between the two countries, it's been described as a Cold War. Is it in danger of heating up?
Yes, absolutely. It's not in danger of heating up to the degree where we might think about something like the Iran-Iraq War back in the 1980s, where there was a quite prolonged military engagement with all sorts of different defense platforms being used. You've got tanks and aircraft and so on, and troops going across the borders. Unlikely for something like that to happen between Iran and Saudi Arabia. They don't really have the defensive capability these days to do that sort of a long, engaged ground campaign against one another. Also, they don't have the long land border that Iran and Iraq have, of course. But certainly airstrikes against one another could hot up at some point. Most analysts believe that if there was a heating up of that Cold War that we see right now, it would probably be some sharp naval engagements and maybe aircraft engagements across the Persian Gulf, and then a de-escalation rather quickly. Neither of those countries, certainly not Saudi Arabia, really have the stamina or the infrastructure for long, drawn-out, protracted military engagements.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that there, and I've seen a lot of commentators saying that if it were to go and escalate into complete open conflict, Saudi Arabia would almost certainly be on the losing side unless the United States would intervene. I mean, given that, as you mentioned there, Saudi Arabia, it's a longtime ally of the United States, but on the other hand, America is opening up relationships with Iran. If this were to escalate, how likely is it that America would stay out of the fight?
Oh, I think America would do all it possibly could to stay out of the fight. I mean, no one at the moment has an interest in another prolonged ground war in the Middle East. I don't think America is has the appetite right now for another foreign adventure in the Middle East. Of course, these things are always more difficult in an election year because the President Obama is now a last week in the US and have an awful lot of power in terms of setting the foreign policy agenda. That's really set now by the presidential candidates on both sides, Clinton and Trump and others. So a lot of rhetoric might come out of Washington if there was an increase or escalation of this Cold War, but I don't think anyone in the American establishment is interested in another Middle Eastern adventure right now. They're exhausted from the previous ones in Iraq and Afghanistan and now Syria.
Although a lot of rhetoric coming to us from the Republican Party especially, a lot of, shaking of fists and warmongering talk.
Of course, and it's ironic, really, because we've seen this new diplomatic initiative by the Americans under Obama to try and normalize, to some degree, their diplomatic relationships with Iran through trying to lessen these trade sanctions. And that has certainly gone a long way to preventing a conflict over the Iranian nuclear weapons development program. I mean, we were really looking a year, 2 years ago, at the very real possibility of American and or Israeli airstrikes against some of these Iranian nuclear facilities. I've been past a few of those facilities in the past. I've seen how heavily fortified and defended they are in Iran. And we would have been looking at a very significant and a very dramatic regional conflict if that had have happened, with all sorts of implications, such as the closing off of the Persian Gulf to oil tankers and a crisis in world energy flows and so on. And that's all been absolutely avoided through diplomacy. And historically, when we look at times when diplomacy has prevented countries from going to war, we really can pat ourselves on the back and say, goodness, you know, so much treasure and life and chaos has been avoided through diplomacy. That's what we're seeing right now in America. And it's ironic that so many within the political establishment, especially on the Republican side in America, are gnashing their teeth and saying that they prefer to have gone to war. It's quite an incredible sight to behold.
Mm. So just as a final point there, Julian, I guess bringing the conversation back to the relationship between Saudi Arabia and Iran, as we mentioned, Saudi Arabia has just recently ruled out diplomacy, ruled out a mediation. So what is their relationship? How does it figure into larger scale tensions in the Middle East, most specifically in Iraq?
Huge tensions, and this is where the issue of not just politics, but that ugly head of religion really does come in, because although sectarianism between Sunni Muslims and Shia Muslims is not something that has always existed in the history of the Middle East or of Islam, it's not something that you can say always points to conflict. Quite the reverse, historically, we have seen in the last 10 years, and especially since the Arab Spring, a real heightening of sectarian tensions between Sunni Muslims, who are predominantly the type of Muslims that we get in the Arab states, such as Saudi Arabia, and the Shia variety of Islam, which is what we get predominantly in the state of Iran. And at the moment, both the Arab states and also Iran are using that identity as Sunni or Shia Islam to mobilize their friends and allies across the region. And so we've seen, ever since the Iraq conflict, really a heightening of this sectarian tensions and violence amongst communities where these sorts of issues weren't once really a particularly big issue. And so right now, Iraq, or what's left of Iraq, is really divided between the West, which butts up against Syria, which is Sunni, and it's now really the area controlled by the Islamic State, a Sunni organization, and the East of Iraq, which is predominantly Shia, from sort of Baghdad towards Iran, and which is really now part of the Iranian sphere of influence, and that juts up against Iran. And so this is, I think, why a lot of nations or countries in the region are looking at Iraq and saying, goodness, the Iranians have come in, they've got dominance now over the most important parts of Iraq. There's sort of this Shia Islamic crescent forming between sort of Lebanon, parts of Syria, then across Iraq towards Iran, and that's a threat to us, us Arab states who are Sunni and who are to the south. And so that's sort of the religious and ideological subtext of what's going on in that region right now. It's a very fluid and a very complicated and quite a messy set of circumstances.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Jules, thank you very much for joining us this morning, unpacking it for us a little bit.
Happy to talk to you, Sean.
Oh, absolutely, mate. You have a very good day.
Cheers.